Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
It was a Sunday afternoon in the spring of 2006. Our church at that time was meeting over at Owensboro Middle School because we didn't have a building of our own. And from what I was told, it was just one of those days, really hard. 15, 20 people showed up to church. Morale had never been lower among the people. There was no pastor, there was no building, there was not much money. So frustrated and tired and weary, some of the leaders got together after church that day at the middle school and said, you know, I think we've done all we can do. It's time to throw in the towel and shut down the church. But in that moment, the Holy Spirit moved on the heart of a man named Bob Childers. Bob's in heaven now. The Spirit of God said to Bob, one more prayer meeting. So Bob said, let's get together tonight at my house and let's pray one last time and just make sure that God doesn't want us to still be a church. Five or six men and women got on their knees in a pool house on the west side of town. And they cried out to God. And they said, God, we're tired, we're weary, we're exhausted, we're discouraged. But Lord, if you want us to be a church, you're going to have to give us a sign. You're going to have to make it clear. And the Holy Spirit of God fell in that little room. The place where they were was shaken. And God said to that little group, don't you close the doors. I've got a plan. Shortly thereafter, Paula Horn, who's also in heaven, one of our founding members. Paula drove her SUV down to the river and she had a prophetic vision from the Lord. I want to say that again. She had a prophetic vision from the Lord. At Pleasant Valley, we believe that all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are still for the church today because God's name, listen, his name is not I was, his name is I am. And we believe God still speaks through the miraculous. We think God still speaks through dreams and visions and prophetic words. We think God is still a miracle-working God. We think God still heals because the Holy Spirit is not the freaky third cousin to Jesus that we should be afraid of. He's God, and we desperately need him. So I just want to stop right now. Would you bow your head with me? Let's plead with him to come. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, we dedicate this building to you, oh God, unleash your power in this place like a mighty rushing wind like you did at Pentecost. Oh God, show off your glory through signs and wonders that the lost in this community would bow the knee and behold the glory of God. God, we plead with you to pour out your spiritual gifts on your people. Oh God, fulfill your word in Acts chapter 2 that you will pour out your spirit on all flesh, that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy and our young men shall see visions and our old men shall dream dreams. Oh, Holy Spirit, we plead with you to do it in this church. And God, forgive us. Lord, forgive us to the extent that we've grieved your Holy Spirit or we've told you you're not welcome here. Oh God, forgive me, this pastor. God, forgive me when I have given in to the fear of man. God, and I've been more concerned with pleasing people than pleasing you. Oh, God, have mercy. God, you have free reign in this room. This is your house. God, do what you want. Get us out of our comfort zones. Holy Spirit, blow us away with your power and do it for the glory, we pray, of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I'm supposed to be telling a story. Let me get back to that. Back to Paula. She's in her SUV and she drives down to the river and she just cries out to God for our church. And she said, "James, God gave me a prophetic vision and here's what I saw at the river." She saw a massive room overflowing with hundreds of people. People couldn't find parking spots. It was pandemonium. She said, "James, in that room, let me tell you what I saw." She said, "I saw black people and white people and Asians and Hispanics." She said, "James, I saw doctors and lawyers." She said, "I saw factory workers and carpenters." She said, "I saw people straight out of Sunday school and people straight out of prison." She said, "James, it was beautiful." And she said, "James, the kids were everywhere." She said, "There were kids crawling out of the rafters and under the seats." She said, "I've never seen so many kids in my life." When she had that vision, there were two kids in the church, two, Wyatt Pierce and Sydney Luck. She had a vision of church where children have been adopted from all over the world, from China and Ghana and Vietnam and Ethiopia and South Korea and Utah and Philpott and Whitesville and Davis County. And she saw a huge room overflowing. And she said, "James, the most beautiful thing was all these people were in one accord and they were lifting up the name of Jesus." She said, "James, I was broken and moved to tears." She said, "James, God spoke to me in that car and God told me he was gonna do it. In Pleasant Valley, God did it. God did it." And 18 years later, by God's grace, here we are. God said he would do it and he did it. All right, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in miracles? Yeah. No, I'm talking about, do you really believe in miracles? Yeah. I don't mean the kind of miracle where UK wins an SEC football game. Well, that would be. I don't mean the kind of miracle where your preacher can save his hair from this big, ugly, balding head. Let me just pause for a moment. Lord, I know this is probably not spirit-led. I have never been more overwhelmed in my life with how vain you are as a church and how much you don't want to have a bald preacher. I have been overwhelmed with supplements, shampoos, not joking, colostrum. I mean, like swarmed with ways to save my little hair. But I'm not talking about that kind of miracle. I mean, do you believe in the kind of miracle where if God didn't do it, it wouldn't happen? Let me help you believe in miracles if you don't believe in miracles. The sheer existence of this church is a miracle. Ask some of that original group that's here today. Mike and Donna Ray, Phyllis Taylor, Kayla Walker, Hillary, Sheila Phillips, so many others. The original group. Ask Dr. French Harmon, who's one of our honored guests here today. Right when the church was about to close the doors in 2006, French, who lived in Louisville, felt called of God to take the church under his wing, and he became the interim pastor of the church. He drove from Louisville every single Sunday for 6 months to be the pastor of this church. Drove to Owensboro Middle School, preached. Then they gave him a key to this old warehouse over here that the church had just acquired. And every Sunday he would prayer walk through the whole building, praying that one day God would fill it with people. And he gave the church leadership and stability and vision. What just so happened, French was mentoring me at the time. Annie and I lived in Louisville. We were seminary students. I was 24 years old. And French called me one day. He said, "James, there's this little church in Owensboro, and they're looking for a pastor, and they're willing to take a chance on a young guy with no experience that doesn't know very much. And I thought about you. He said, can I give them your resume? And I said, I trust your judgment. Yeah, you can do that. Well, I was on the front steps of the library at Southern Seminary. I'll never forget it. And it's his, I don't know that the clouds actually parted, but it felt that way. And I didn't want to come. I didn't have the confidence. Like, I'm not ready to be a pastor. But God said, you're going to Owensboro. So I called Annie on my flip phone. I said, honey, we're moving to Owensboro. She said, where's that? She's from Illinois. She don't know these parts. I said, honey, we're moving to Owensboro, the land of burgoo, mutton barbecue, and bluegrass music. She said, what's burgoo? And then she said, well, okay. She said, well, do they have a Whole Foods market there in Owensboro? I said, no, baby, but they got a Rural King. She said, well, do they at least have a Trader Joe's? I said, no, honey, but they got a Big Lots. And they got a Shoney's buffet that's open all night long. I won't tell you what her response was, but it's something they don't teach you in seminary. But we both knew in that moment God was calling us here. And so the Bible says, give honor where honor is due. And Annie and I are here because of French Harmon. He gave a 24-year-old kid a chance when nobody else would. French Harmon believed in this church when nobody else believed in this church. And God used him to lay the foundation for this church. So Pleasant Valley, would you join me in honoring and showing our gratitude to Dr. French Harmon? Would you stand, brother, at this time? And Amen. Amen. Well, hey, I didn't know any of that was going to happen, the gift from the foundation, but I do feel like the Lord, who still speaks prophetically, just told me, Jameis, you get to build that hot tub with that money in the pastor's office. I've always wanted. So I claim it in Jesus' name. Thank you for investing in that jacuzzi. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Do all my Bible studies in there. In all seriousness, for those of you that weren't around, ask some of the originals how close they were to closing the doors. We shouldn't be here. There were pastors in this city that made fun of this church. We were the laughingstock of the community. When a little group of people went to the bank and said, we want to borrow $500,000 to buy a 30,000 square foot warehouse. Nobody gave this church a chance. Just a bunch of misfits barely hanging on. Their words, not mine. But brothers and sisters, God's not looking for impressive people. God's looking for people who believe. They may not have had money, may not have had a building, but they had faith that nothing is impossible for our God, because they knew that God loves to work when nothing else will. So this church is not a testimony to good luck or good leadership. This church is a testimony to nothing more than the grace and the power of God. So Pleasant Valley today is, as great as it is for us, it's not about us, it's all about Him. So let's lift up His name and praise God. All right, turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. If you don't know where 1 Chronicles is, it's right before 2 Chronicles. And that's about all the help I can give you. The context is the Holy Spirit put it on King David's heart to build a temple, to build a house for God. So in 1 Chronicles 28 and 29, David is publicly commissioning his son Solomon to build the temple for God. David gave the vision, the blueprints. David would fund it out of his own gold and silver, but Solomon was to lead the charge. So this is David's commissioning of a new temple. And as I scoured the Bible for the past few months, like, God, what do I say on this day? I felt like the Lord kept leading me back to one verse in 1 Chronicles 29:1. King David says to Solomon and all the people, the task is great, because the building will not be built for a human, but for the Lord God. So I want us to read that verse again, and would you read it out loud with me on three? One, two, three. The task is great, because the building will not be built for a human, but for the Lord God. Pleasant Valley, look around this great place. It has not been built for us. It has been built for the Lord God Almighty. It's not ours, it's His. So Pleasant Valley, just look around. It's all by Him and through Him and for Him. This building exists for the glory of God. And in verse 1 of our text, the task is great, David said, because the building will not be built for a human, but for the Lord God. And the theme of the whole passage, David's whole speech on dedication day, was radically God-centered. In verse 2, verse 3, verse 5, 7, 8, and 9, 8 times you see God's name used. David says over and over, hey, y'all, this is going to be God's house. He says, it's God's house. It's God's house. He says, you're giving your money for God's house. This is God's place. The whole temple dedication, it wasn't primarily for the people. It was for God. And one of my greatest fears for me, and one of my greatest fears for our church as we move into this new space, is there's going to be a temptation that we make church about us, our comfort, those nice new stadium seats back there, folks racing to claim those seats like it was the Ryan's Buffet. Maybe I'm the only one that races to the Ryan's Buffet. But our comfort, our preferences. Paint should have been this color. Where's the carpet? Why didn't we do this? Where's that? Our preferences. They better choose the right songs. And bless God, better not be too loud. but it better be loud enough. Y'all smell what I'm stepping in? Our preferences, what we think church ought to be, our needs, our ministries. What could this church do for me? Pardon my grammar, brothers and sisters, but this ain't our house. This is God's house. And before we're here for us, we're here for him. Back to our text. Watch what David does. He interrupts his speech and he busts out in prayer and praise to God at the dedication. Verse 10, let's do this together as we move on to, we've underlined the name of the Lord every time it's used. So when I get to that, would you say God's name out loud with me, loudly in adoration to him? Let's do that together. Then David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. David said, may you be blessed of our father Israel from eternity to eternity. Yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the splendor and the majesty, for everything in the heavens and on earth belongs to you. Let's just stop here. David drops five massive word bombs ascribing the greatness of God. I want us to feel the weight of his glory. So let's read verse 11 again. And this time, every time you see an underlined word, read it with me. Here we go. Yours, Lord, is the, and the, and the, and for everything. What belongs to the Lord? Everything in the heavens and on earth belongs to you. Pleasant Valley, let's just meditate on this text and behold our God in this place. God is great. God is glorious. God is powerful. God is splendid. God is majestic. Everything in this church and everything in this whole world, it all belongs to him. It's by him and through him and for him and his glory. Would you praise him with me? Amen. Back to David's prayer in verse 11. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you, God, you, Lord, are exalted as head over all. I want to read that last phrase one more time. You, Lord, are exalted as head over all. Church, as we open this thing up today, we need to be reminded there is only one man who is head over this house. It's not the pastors. It's not the preacher. It's not the deacons. It's not the one who gave the most money. There's one man who rules this place. There's one man who is head over this house, and he is the God man. And his is the name above all the other names. And his is the name to whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord for the glory of God the Father. Pleasant Valley, let's not get too big for our spiritual britches. May we never say, look what we have done, but look at what Christ has done. But the Lord Jesus isn't just high and lifted up. This same Lord Jesus in unfathomable humility left heaven, came to earth, died a sinner's death in our place. And this is why the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, he speaks to them about the number one priority in the church. He says, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance. That's Paul's way of saying, listen to what I'm saying to you. This is what matters most. This is of critical nature. This is the most important thing in the church. And what is it, Paul says? What is most important as we open up this new place? What is more primary than any other thing we can do? Paul says it is the gospel in verse 3 and 4. What is the gospel? That Christ has died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That he was buried. That Christ was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Brothers and sisters, our only hope in life and death is not our good deeds. Our only hope for heaven is not our own righteousness or how much money we give to the church or how many good things we do. Our only hope for salvation is the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners. That is the good news of the gospel. And it doesn't matter what side of the tracks we come from. It doesn't matter who you slept with. It doesn't matter what you sniffed, snorted, chewed, or smoked. Doesn't matter if you shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. I had to get in a Johnny Cash moment of the week. Friends, anyone under the sound of my voice, no matter how far you have ran from God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the gospel. And it is the utmost importance, Paul says. I heard about this middle-aged woman. She had a heart attack. And on the operating table, she asked God, she says, God, is this it? I'm young. God said, I'm giving you 40 more years. She was so inspired. She stayed in the hospital, had herself a facelift, tummy tuck, liposuction. Extreme makeover. 2 months later, she was leaving the hospital. Got hit by a combine and died. She lived out in the country. She got to heaven and she said, God, I thought you told me I had 40 more years. He said, honey, I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you. Pleasant Valley, as we open up this new space, there are some things we may not recognize. It's different. Studied leadership theory enough to know that we don't like change. I don't like change. We're resistant to change. We want things to be the way they were. But there's changes. We got more room. We got better audio and video. It's going to sound different. It's going to feel different. We got a lounge area. Bless the Lord, we finally got some functional restrooms. First time some of y'all ever said amen. There are some changes in the new space, but Pleasant Valley, listen, don't let the devil or cynicism steal your joy because we're worried about changes. The things that matter the most will not change. Every single Sunday in this new building, you are going to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the gospel that we will sing till we can sing no more. It is the gospel that we will preach until we can preach no more. And you mark my word and the pastor's word, and you hold us accountable. Come persecution, come incarceration, come hell or high water. We will stand upon the word of God and the word of God alone, and we will not compromise. Because the times they are a-changing, and the culture she is a-changing, and the church is under more pressure than she's ever been before to succumb to the ways of the world. But the word of God does not change, and we will stand on it. But brothers and sisters, here's another fear I have. As we enjoy this new space in here, we cannot lose sight of our vision out there. Our mission is not in these seats. Our mission is out there in those streets. There are 90,000 people in this county who woke up this morning and worship something else besides God. And they're in church nowhere. If we don't reach them, who will? Pleasant Valley, in this new space, God forbid, let's not let it happen. We cannot become a religious country club. We are a hospital for sinners. Our vision is to saturate Owensboro with the gospel, to engage the nations with the glory and knowledge of God. We're not a holy huddle. This church is a launching pad. We built this place so that you would leave. This is the greatest tension every pastor feels, but I pray that a number of you will leave our church. And I don't mean to go to the church down the road, but I pray that some of you will leave this church and go plant a church where there's not one. I pray that some of you will leave this church and move to North Africa with our missionaries there, and to the Czech Republic, and to Sudan, and to all the unreached places we are. We love you, and I want to keep us all here. I want my own kids to be. I don't want anybody to go, but I pray by faith, Lord, raise up the kids in this church. Mamas and daddies, we got to be ready to release them, because if we pray for this, I suspect God's going to do it. Some of the moms and dads in this room are going to have to say goodbye to your kids, because God's going to call them to go to the mission field, and we must not get in the way. That's about our vision, is this will be a launching pad to plant 3 new churches in North America and to send out 5 new international missionaries. If not you, then who? So this is all great, but our work is not done. We're just getting started. Until everyone in Owensboro has heard the gospel, our work is not done, because Christ is worthy of the worship of everybody in Owensboro. It's not right that people wouldn't be in the house of God worshiping Christ, because he's better than everything else they're doing. And he deserves their worship and praise. Until the gospel has reached every tongue, tribe, and nation, our work is not done, because Christ is worthy of the worship of every tongue, tribe, and nation. So Pleasant Valley, this is great, but we can't stop. We got to put the foot on the gas. We got to keep sharing the gospel. We got to invite people to church more than we ever have before. 80% of our friends said they would come to church if a friend would just invite them. Because we built this place not for us, but so that our friends could come. So let's fill it up for God's glory. And finally, I want to challenge us. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, at the dedication of the temple, you see that all the people gave and they brought their contributions to the Lord. So let's not, and I'm speaking to myself here, let's not let up on our giving and financial sacrifice. It's time to take it to the next level. Let's do it for the glory of Christ. Hundreds of you have given and sacrificed. People in this room have said no to home renovations and vacations and newer cars, because they believed in what God was doing here. So friends, whether you gave $5 or $5,000, may God bless you. And let's keep this thing going for the glory of Christ. This is phase one. We got like 27 other phases. Then it's not just building stuff, but that building right out there, it's the new youth building. You're gonna see a picture right there. That's an old mechanic shop. We purchased that, but it's not ready. We need $750,000 by God's grace to make it ready for our teenagers. Our Mercy ministry has an incredible vision to feed and clothe and care for with the gospel hundreds in our community through our local school systems and elsewhere. And we need funding to make that happen. We gotta finish up our kids' space. We got a vision to send out church planters and missionaries. Friends, it takes resources. Let's keep going for Christ. He's worthy. Complacency is the enemy. Pleasant Valley, today is great, but this is not the finish line. We are just getting started. I'd love to invite up Pastor Josh and our worship team. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, as they were dedicating the new temple they were going to build, notice what they did in the celebration. In our text in verse 21 and 22, as I close, the following day they offered sacrifices to the Lord and burnt offerings to the Lord, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, along with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. And look at what they did at their building dedication. They ate and drank with great joy in the Lord's presence that day. You see, God's always believed in celebrating great things with food and drink. It's a theme throughout the scripture. And as they were eating and drinking at this party for the Lord, they were killing animals and making sacrifices. Dead animals all over the place. Why? You ever wondered why in the Old Testament there's so much blood? Like, what's up with all the dead goats? What's up with all the dead doves? What did they do? Remember, they sacrifice animals as a praise to God, but as a foreshadowing of another sacrifice that was to come. You see, anytime you see a dead animal and all the blood in the Old Testament, it's pointing you to another sacrifice to come. Because every dead lamb in the book of Leviticus and Chronicles is pointing us to another lamb, a spotless lamb, the Lamb of God, whose altar would be a cross where the Lamb of God would die for the sins of the world. And there's no more sacrifice to be made because Jesus sealed the deal. That's why we serve donuts out there, not dead animals. We don't kill animals around here because there's no more sacrifice to be made. You don't have to write a big church check to receive God's acceptance. You don't have to volunteer all the hours at church to be loved by God. You don't have to go do all the good deeds so God will love you. You are loved and accepted by God because of what Christ did on the cross, and it's done. It's finished. You ain't got to do nothing but receive the gift of Christ. So when we take the Lord's Supper, it's a meal with Christ where it's supernatural, but he's here through the Holy Spirit, I believe, uniquely in communion. And so I'd like to ask our Lord's Supper ushers, if you all would, brothers and sisters, move to your places. What more appropriate way to open up our new building than by having the most important meal in the world together, the Lord's meal, the Lord's Supper. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of reflection, a chance to examine ourselves before we partake of the meal. This is a holy, serious meal. This is not snack time. This matters to God. It's a chance to confess our sins, to prepare our hearts. So the Lord's Supper is only for those who have placed their faith in Jesus and are following Jesus. And if you've not placed your faith in Jesus, and if you're not seeking to obey Christ, if you've not been baptized in obedience to Christ, we'd ask that you not partake. This is a meal for those who are in Jesus and following him. But for those who are in Christ, including all of our guests who are in Christ, we invite you to partake of this glorious meal. So after a few moments of prayer and reflection, when you're ready, on your own timing, I won't cue you, you can get up from your seat and go to one of the serving tables closest to you. All of our servants, would you raise your hand so they could see where you are? Down here, back there. Miss Phyllis and Cheryl, if you guys would raise your hand so they can see you. And back here, the heart goes. So whatever, and then right here in the middle as well. Thank you, Derek and April. Wherever table is closest to you, you can go there now. For some of you, it may be 30 seconds of reflection and you're ready to partake. Maybe you need 10 minutes, but when you're ready to observe the meal, you can go and do that. Servants there will give you the bread. You will take the bread, dip it in the cup, and you can partake right there at the table. You don't have to wait till you get back to your seat. If you have a gluten allergy or maybe a fear of germs, we have a prepackaged gluten-free option for you as well. So let's bow our heads at this time and just prepare your heart. And when you feel you are ready to partake of the meal, feel free to move in that direction.
Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.